morning. I'm Nancy McCarthy. You're listening to After Deadline. I'm the South County reporter for the Daily Astorian and also editor of the Seaside Signal and the Cannon Beach Gazette. Well, we've had a lot of news coming out of South County. Some not so good, I guess, or maybe depending on your point of view, with the $128.8 million school bond. Well, it's time now to put that aside for just a few months, maybe a few weeks, and go into the holiday season. We're getting very close to Thanksgiving, and we are also looking forward to the holiday season. And of course, we have a tradition in Cannon Beach. It's the Christmas play or the holiday play at the Coaster Theater, and that's what we're going to talk about today. I have with me Patrick Lathrop, who is the executive director of the Coaster Theater, and Jenny Tronier, who is the marketing and operations director also for the Coaster Theater. So we're going to talk a little bit about the challenges of running a local theater, and we're going to talk very much about the new Christmas play that's going to open on November 15th. So welcome, Patrick. Welcome, Jenny.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Patrick, there have been some changes at the Coaster Theater this year. It's been a very interesting year, I think, for everybody. Can tell me a little bit about what has happened at the Coaster. You are the new executive director as of what?
I started in first part of March, late February, first part of March.
And what is your background?
I have a couple of degrees in theater. I have a bachelor's from Long Beach State in performance, and then I have a master's degree in costume history and design, and then I have an MFA in musical theater direction. So that's my education. And then I've been working with nonprofits for many years now. I worked with an art organization in Orange County called the Imagination Celebration, and we produce all sorts of art activities and art events and what have you. And from there, then I moved to Pasadena Junior Theater and worked with them for quite a while, about 4 years. And then I worked with the San Diego Junior Theater before I moved up here. And then I moved up here to start as the education director for the Coaster Theater and box office, and then from there circumstances happen, what have you, and I moved into the executive director position, which I'm enjoying very, very much.
I think people are enjoying having you there too.
Thank
as well
you.
And I have to do a disclaimer, I do a lot of volunteering at the Coaster Theater and I enjoy it very much. Jenny, you just joined the Coaster Theater a couple of months ago.
Yeah, I joined it in June, right before we started our summer season. I moved to Cannon Beach last October with my husband. Previously, we were in Portland, but my background in theater comes from New York. I went when I moved to New York in 1995. I started at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts in New York, and after a year, then transferred to Circle in the Square Theater School, which was a 2-year theater program. In the heart of Times Square.
Oh, boy.
It kind of run in the basement of an off-Broadway theater called Circle in the Square. Mm-hmm. And that is where I met my husband. And after school, we founded a theater company called Phenomenon Productions.
Mm-hmm.
Had a few shows that we did through there. And then just circumstances brought us back to Oregon and to the coast, and now I'm back in the theater and I'm loving every minute of it. It's a great group of people.
Well, and then so you do have some management experience yourself running mm-hmm. your own theater group.
Yes.
So you know what it takes to run a small community mm-hmm. theater. It can be very challenging, I imagine, being the director of a coastal community theater, a little feast and a little famine as well.
In that respect, yes.
Well, tell me a little bit about what you do as executive director.
Well, I'm supposed to be in the office, I think, more than I am. Mm-hmm. I find myself gravitating more to working on the set or working costumes or doing something that's more design or a little more artistic oriented, but I also am running the theater in the way of helping to pay the bills, or we have an accountant that does that, but I work with the finances and watching the budget and hiring the directors and the designers, and then my job is also, I'm basically the producer of all the shows, so I have to make sure that we maintain a certain artistic integrity and have to make sure that the sets that we're designing are going to work within the space we have. And like in the summer, we've got two shows running in tandem, so we've got to make sure one set works with the other. And then there's all the casting, working with all the different community members and things like that. So that's probably, I probably have just barely touched the surface of what we do, but there's a lot involved, but I enjoy it. It's actually, this is a position that everything I've done in my past is kind of all coming together, and all the skills that I've learned in the past are being applied in this position. So that's very nice.
And it's working with a lot of volunteers too.
A lot of volunteers. Yeah. And way of our actor base, that's all volunteer. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of our tech stuff, for instance, you volunteer to help us run lights mm-hmm. in the summer. Some of our stage management is volunteer. We pay our directors and our designers. We don't pay our actors. And that's probably our biggest volunteer mm-hmm. and is our actor base.
Mm-hmm. And there are all kinds of actors coming from all different places.
They are. We get people as far south as the Tillamook area. One of our directors this year, George Zunza, is coming from Neatarts. And then we get people as far north as the, what's it called, the Washington Peninsula, is mm-hmm. that what that's called mm-hmm. up there? As far north as that. And they used to get people in from Portland before I came here, but I haven't had any Portland actors since I've been here.
Yeah, it's pretty challenging. And Jenny, you've been in at least one production.
I have been in one production at the Coaster, that is correct. I made my Coaster debut this summer in The Importance of Being Earnest.
Some very memorable scenes, too.
Yes, she was quite delightful as Gwendolyn.
Very good. Very good. Well, let's talk about the play that's coming mm-hmm. up, the Christmas play. There's a tradition in Cannon Beach to have a kind of a community play. Is this something that you would like to continue?
Oh, most definitely. To be honest, I was a little disappointed in the turnout of White Christmas because I was hoping for a larger cast. We didn't really get the big ensemble that we've had. And I was just talking with Jenny about that when we did My Fair Lady a few years mm-hmm. back. I think the cast was about 27 or so. Yeah,
yeah,
you were in that one,
yeah.
weren't you? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it seems like every year it's gotten a little bit smaller since then. And I don't know if it's just the pendulum swinging that direction. But yes, I hope to continue making it what I call a community show. We didn't cast everybody who auditioned this year, which was a little unusual. Usually we almost cast everybody. But because we didn't have this bulk of people that I needed, some of the people who did audition, I just couldn't utilize within the way I had to modify mm-hmm. some of the things because of the numbers. So, but yes, I would love to do big community shows every Christmas. We're doing Beauty and the Beast yeah. Next holiday season, so I'm hoping we get a big turnout for that. And there's lots of opportunity for people, and again, big crowd scenes and all of that kind of stuff.
So people who are a little bit timid about the idea of going up on a stage and singing and dancing, this might be a real good opportunity for them to get warmed up to the prospect.
Yeah, most
right?
definitely. But I encourage really anybody to come audition for any one of our shows. In fact, we're soon to be doing a press release talking about auditions. Auditions for our first two shows, which is Ibsen's A Doll's House and, is it Noel Coward?
Noel Coward, yeah.
Noel Coward's Present Laughter. Those are going to be in the first part of December. And so I really encourage anybody, even if you've never been in a play, it could very well be that you have the look or the voice or you're the right height or any number of things fall into that mix. And so if you're interested at all in being in it, you know, please come audition. Our auditions are very friendly. They're not, you usually don't have to prep a monologue or anything. You just show up, fill out the form, and then read from the script. We make the scripts available for people to check out ahead of time if they'd like to look at them. So it's a very friendly audition, and I really encourage, if you've never ever been in a show but you would like to or you're intrigued by it, please come to the auditions.
Well, and the community is really open armed in terms of bringing people in and making them feel mm-hmm. comfortable as well.
Well, you know, they say that theater is the most forgiving. Theater people are the most forgiving people because we're all oddballs. And so it's like anybody's welcome. We don't care who you are. You are welcome to be part of our family because we're all a little strange to begin with.
And that's good. That's
most definitely.
Well, let's talk about White Christmas. That is the Christmas play this year. It's a little different in the sense that in the last few years there have been 19th century type of plays, My Fair Lady being one of them, Hello Dolly and some of the others, either the early 20th or the late 19th century staging. This is a little different. Tell us about White Christmas.
Well, it's mostly set in 1952. The first scene takes place in, maybe it's 54.
1954.
Yeah, the first scene takes place in 1944 on the Western Front, and then it jumps to 10 years later, 1954. But it's really interesting because even if you're doing a play in the 50s, there's really as much research regarding costumes and hair and makeup and all of that as there is if you're doing something in the 1880s. Because the 50s is far enough away now that looks are iconic. For instance, I'm doing the hair on the women. I'm going very much with the Liz Taylor, Marilyn Monroe kind of hairstyles on some of the women. Makeup, you know, in the 50s, lips were really the look. Lips and eyebrows. You didn't have a lot of rouge at that point. The women didn't have a lot. There weren't a lot of color in the eye makeup. So we're going to play with some of those things. There were some iconic looks from the film, which we're reproducing. The blue dresses in the sisters number with the big ostrich fans. We're redoing those. They should be lovely. And then Janine Fairchild is doing our costume. She's an Astorian local. Right. She runs the Columbia Inn. Yeah. And no, that's not right. She doesn't run the Columbian
Theater.
The Columbia Theater, yeah. Excuse me. Yeah. And the restaurant there. What's that called? Columbia Cafe.
Cafe something. Yeah.
Yeah. She is also recreating that iconic look at the end of the show with the leads in those red Santa kind of looks. Mm-hmm. So that's another look we're going for. But the 50s really, there's as much to research as there is if we're doing another period show.
And how do you, Jenny, how do you promote this play? How do you let people know that it's happening?
Well, with this show in particular, it's we have it a little easier because the name recognition alone. I mean, White Christmas is a holiday classic. I know growing up, I watched it every Christmas, you know. I mean,
Bing
the
Crosby,
songs, the dresses, Jenny. You know, the whole thing. You know, it's just, it's a part of a lot of people's childhood. And adulthood, for that matter. So with the name recognition, we have a little bit of extra help there, which is nice. But, you know, we do a lot of outreach through Facebook and Twitter, as well as local media, and just, you know, trying to get the word out. You know, we still go around and pass out posters to local retailers and community centers, Chamber of Commerce, that kind of thing.
And are you doing any outreach to Portland or Seattle or any of those areas?
Yeah, we're lucky to have the assistance of a great public relations woman named Bonnie Gilchrist, and she's doing a lot of outreach for us to the Portland-Vancouver area as well as Seattle, so we'll get as much outreach as we can.
And those audiences are important, too.
Yeah, we have a percentage of our audience comes from Portland, Seattle. Mm-hmm. We get a lot from Canada.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah,
Canada.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. They just didn't have Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye. The play itself, now you mentioned that you had somewhat fewer people at the audition than you wanted to, and I kind of sit back and watch you work your magic on the stage as a director of the play, and I've noticed that you've done quite a bit of adapting, you've done some subtracting and some addition, and you've done this and you've done that. How do you visualize what you want to do, and then how do you adapt it to what you have visualized?
It very much has to do with the casting. When I start a show, or when a director starts a show, they have certain images, certain ideas, certain things that they want to pull out of the show, or that they think are important. They usually have kind of an idea of where they want to go character-wise. But often, once the auditions happen and we actually cast it, some of those have to change. You ended up getting a character you didn't, you know, maybe physically is different than you initially pictured them, or any number of things. So then once I have the cast, then it's kind of like, then it's a reworking of the initial concept. And from there, it's really, it's hard to say how to craft it. It's very much based on the people and the space and the piece and trying to get the right flow and the right builds here. And like right now, I was just talking to Jenny. I want her to come watch the show so that there's several, as you know, in the show, there's several like setups that I want to make sure are hit. So the audience sees the setup. So later when the punchline comes, they go, oh, yeah, I remember that character. You know, so and it's important that I set those up. So that's something that I'm looking at. And it's hard to say. Every show is really different. You know, for instance, this show, blocking wise, Lisa Fergus, our choreographer, has done the bulk of the movement in the show. So most of the movement comes from her work. Where so my blocking is just, you know, walk on, sit, walk off, basically.
I know that.
Yeah, I think you have a couple of those blocking notes. Where in earnest, it was, okay, I want you to enter here and walk three steps and then turn slightly to the right and then move three steps this direction and then turn your back completely and then sit, then stand. You know, it was very, very specific. So that show lent itself to that kind of blocking. This show lends itself to walk on, sit down, and walk off. So, you know, it just depends a lot on the show also.
Well, I think it depends a lot on the writer of the play, the author of the play, and the type of play it is.
Yeah.
Whereas Ernest was a much more structured kind of performance. Each person was doing their own kind of individual performance, whereas in White Christmas, it's a lot of theater people walking on the stage and wandering around and walking back off the stage.
Exactly, yeah. So it's kind of this more general kind of movement in a way.
Yeah. Jenny, what kind of plays do you like to be in? Do you like to be in the earnest type plays, or do you like to be in these types of White Christmas?
You know, I personally love theater. So, I mean, drama, comedy, musical, you name it, it's very fulfilling. I mean, if you have, for those who have been on stage, to create a character, to build a character, to perform as that character, and even during the performances have that character continue to grow and to change, is very fulfilling. And so I don't think it really depends, you know, it doesn't really matter whether, for me personally, whether it's a modern play, a classic play, a musical, you know, even a Shakespeare play. It's just, it's for me, it's fun to dig into those characters, dig into the language, you know, classic or modern, music or not, and just have fun. I mean, that's what it's really all about is, you know, that's why we do it, especially at the Coaster, because, you know, we're all volunteer and we do it because we love it.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you are listening to After Deadline. I'm Nancy McCarthy. We are talking today to Patrick Lathrop, the executive director of the Coaster Theater, and to Jenny Tranier, the marketing and operations director of the Coaster Theater. We are talking about Coaster Theater, community theater in general, and of course White Christmas, which is the holiday play at the Coaster Theater this year. When does it open? When does it end? And how many performances are there?
Opens November 15th. It closes December 29th. It plays Fridays and Saturdays at 7:30. There are three Sunday matinees in December at 3 o'clock, and there's one Thursday at 7:30. Thursday's called Talk Back Thursday, and it's an opportunity after the show to ask questions of the cast and the director.
And I've attended a few of those talkbacks myself, and the audience can ask some pretty challenging questions, can't they?
It's very interesting. Sometimes they don't ask anything. I've had some where, do you have any questions? And people have just really just stick around. They just wanted to hear what people had to say, but they don't have many questions. And there'll be other ones where they're very intellectual and have these very, very specific questions about the play or about their character. And then we had one, I remember, I won't mention the show, but one of the participants asking the questions had a little too much to drink, and she kind of took over the whole talk back. It's kind of odd.
I was at one of the plays a couple of years ago where they asked one of the characters, or maybe all of the characters, to please give the backstory of their character.
I remember that.
And it was, and the characters themselves were quite challenged by that. So it was very interesting to listen to some of that. You know, well, I expect I was doing this in those days, and this is why I became this, and this is why my character does this. And it was very interesting to do that. But
well, hopefully our actors, though, are thinking about that already.
Yeah.
So they have. They were hit with not expected to tell it, but I know right now I'm talking to people on White Christmas, and they're developing all of these backstories, which are kind of comical, actually. Some of them are quite funny.
I know. You do ask, you say, well, now you're with this particular character on stage. How long have you been with mm-hmm. them? How did you meet? What do you think of these people? And it's interesting to try to go back and try to formulate that. Well, I think I've been with him probably for, 12 years, and we met, when I applied for the job.
Exactly, yeah. I think that's a lot of fun. As an actor, I enjoy that. And that's the kind of information that the audience doesn't receive that information, but the fact that the actors know it makes their characters that much more rich and full and more dimensional in that respect. But the audience rarely really hears that little backstory.
Mm-hmm. But in a sense, they probably do kind of pick it up.
They pick up aspects of it, certainly. Yeah. If a character is going to respond to another character in a certain way based on a backstory, then the audience is going to see that reaction, that response, and hopefully there's been enough exposition or something so they do understand why the characters are reacting that way.
Jenny, you said you like to develop characters, and mm-hmm. that's one reason why you're on the stage. How do you go about developing a character?
A lot of it has to do with, of course, reading the script itself, kind of also reading between the lines of a relationship of characters that you're working against in a show, research on the time period, especially if it's a specific time period, say like Ernest or White Christmas, mm-hmm. where you have certain relationships between men and women, because that does influence the character development as well. And then, using your imagination as well, mm-hmm. Because really the backstory is what the author didn't write. So you kind of have, the world is your oyster as long as you can fit it within that, character constraints that the mm-hmm. author of the play has said. Mm-hmm. So it's a chance for us to kind of, as adults, use our imaginations, which mm-hmm. is always fun.
Oh, yeah. And I remember, especially when I was watching Importance of Being Earnest, because I did the lights for that, so I watched it from pretty much the day you started rehearsals all the way through the play, and I could see how the characters were growing. And I remember you, especially, the first time I saw you kind of adopt the character that you had was when you walked out on the stage, and the way that you, and this is during a rehearsal, and you walked out on the stage just kind of like an imperial princess or something. It was not quite like that, but you obviously had control of the stage, and I thought, aha, this is the character. And you carried that all the way through the play, and it really, I think, set the tone for a lot of the characters that were on the stage, because once people do grab hold of what their character is, I think other people then learn mm-hmm. how to adapt to mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
it's very much fun to watch that grow. Yeah.
I just want to mention that Nancy not only ran lights, but she was really the assistant stage manager, or the stage manager, because she also was on book, mm-hmm. Which is following the lines and feeding the lines to the actors. So you read that script how many times?
Oh, I had it memorized by the time.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I hate to say this, but I was up there working the lights and reading a magazine, and then I had it so memorized I could just punch my button and work my lights and read my magazine at the same time.
Because you read it more than anybody.
Yeah, I knew when everybody was, when people were flubbing and when they were making it up, but they did a great job too. Well, in White Christmas, we have four main characters. Can you kind of describe who we have there?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Well, the characters' names are, of course, Bob Wallace, who was played by Bing Crosby, and then Phil Davis, who was played by Danny Kaye, Betty Haynes was played by Rosemary Clooney, and Judy Haynes was played by Vera Ellen. And when you read my director notes, actually, I have a couple of interesting things about Vera Ellen. so our Bob Wallace is Richard Bowman, and Richard is a veteran of the Coaster Theater. We most recently saw him in Gramercy Ghost as what was the character's name?
Nathaniel Coombs.
As Nathaniel Coombs. And then we saw him this summer both in Ernest as Algernon and in a Forum as the Gemini. Richard's done a lot of work at the theater. He's quite versatile. He has a lovely voice. He's going to do a very good job with the Bob Wallace character. And then Darren Hull is playing Phil Davis. Darren is also a strong veteran of the Coaster Theater, as well as a board member of the theater. Darren was recently seen as Pseudolus in Forum. I was wondering, what was he seen prior to that? He was in Clue a few years back.
He was in Spelling Bee.
Spelling Bee, that's right. Yes, he played Barfay in the Spelling Bee. Did a lovely job with that. And we've got both Darren and Richard in tap shoes, and I think that's a new experience for them. I don't know if they've tapped before. They're doing a great job. Sue Myers is playing Betty Haynes. Sue has a lovely voice, and she, well, you saw her most recently as Lady Bracknell in Ernest, and then also as one of the courtesans in Forum. And then Bree Heavenrich, is that right? Heavenrich?
I think so.
I'm sorry, Bree, if I got that wrong. Bree, actually, she's from Astoria and is commuting down to do the show, and she's playing Judy. And I don't know her history as well. She was in Hitchin in the Astor Street Opry production recently. She has a lovely voice, and I'm quite excited. They're developing their characters very well, and I think they're going to just do a wonderful job with it.
And then there are a lot of other characters. We have a woman whose character name is Mike Ellen, and she's great. And we have John
Grosich is playing Sheldrick, and Ezekiel, which is this kind of Vermont local kind of character. He's doing a fun job with that. Anne Bronson is playing the Martha character. Martha's a little interesting because in the film she doesn't sing, but in the play the Martha character is an old Broadway star who has come into the working at the inn. So she has a couple of songs and she does a lovely job with
Anne
those.
Has a beautiful voice.
Yeah, a really great voice.
Really. And then we have Dick Frank
is playing General Waverly, and then his wife Chris is Rita, one of the showgirls, along with Ellen Jensen. And we just saw Ellen and Chris as the ambulance drivers in Gramercy Go. So it's kind of funny that they're playing off each other again.
Well, that's what you mean. That's what you get for having such versatile people in the community. It's amazing the resources that you do have.
We do. We have a very talented talent pool within our small community.
And Jenny, your husband has been in a couple of the plays, directed one of them.
He directed Around the World in 80 Days this past season, and he was also Miles Gloriosus in Forum this summer. And next season, he will be directing our summer musical, Into the Woods.
Oh, great. So it's definitely a community theater family.
It is a family, yes, yeah.
But always willing to grow at the same
Most
time.
Most definitely, yeah. Yeah, like I said, everyone's welcome.
Well, is there anything else you would like to say about White Christmas? We have a couple minutes left. Come and see
it. Yeah, come and see it. It's going to be a Christmas celebration. We hope that every night you feel like you've come to a little Christmas party.
And it really is a lot of fun. It is kind of a party.
Yeah.
And something that Patrick hasn't mentioned is that one thing he's doing, he has his kids camps that he does, and he's doing a choir this holiday season, and the kids will be performing prior to the show.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah, our pre-show.
Yeah,
that'll be fun. I've seen some of your kids' shows. They've been absolutely great. So it's going to be a lot of fun for everybody. Audiences, of course, are important, and we expect to see a lot of people showing up to see the play, and maybe more than once.
That'd be great.
And so I appreciate you coming in and telling us about the holiday play, something to look forward to as the holidays approach. Thank you, Patrick. Thank you, Jenny.
Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you so much for having us.
This is Nancy McCarthy, and you have been listening to After Deadline.